1053. It's Luke chapter 19, just like this morning, from verse 1 to 10. And Vic is going to lead us.
Luke chapter 19, verses 1 to 10, page 1053 in your Bibles. Zacchaeus, the tax collector. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was going to come that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Lord, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost."
Oh, amen. Thanks so much, Vic. What a blessing to have you serve us in that way. Thank you. A brief Bible thought, and I really don't want to say much because most of us were here this morning. I just want to remind us what we heard, actually. So we've all got in our heads, Tim was telling us this morning, our own ideas of what an evangelist looks like. That might be people wearing sandwich boards of repentance or waving megaphones and signs around and the like. But Jesus gives us a much more achievable model. Jesus met Zacchaeus exactly where he was, but Jesus doesn't leave him there. Hospitably, graciously, he met Zacchaeus where he was. He didn't say he had to clean up his act before he met with him. He drew alongside him to share good news. And the application for us this morning was this: like Jesus, draw alongside people to engage with them. This evening, we're going to talk about creating gospel conversations. That's the first thing. We're going to talk about sharing our gospel stories. That's the second thing. And thirdly, we're going to talk about using a gospel outline. And honestly, right from the start, I want to say that all of this can be so, so simple. I'll embarrass Chris a bit. When he and I were filming our trailer for Hope, you might have seen, Chris bumped into someone that he knew from the chip shop. And Chris was interested in him and asking him about how the chip shop was going, etc., etc. And so this guy was interested in us in return. I thought that's a really good example of drawing alongside people, isn't it? Quite simple, getting to know someone at the chip shop. While they were having this chat, my heart was going, because I'm like the rest of us. I get really nervous when we're trying to share Jesus. And so I was like, what am I going to say? And I landed on three sentences. That's all I could manage, three. That's quite embarrassing for a minister, isn't it? But these were the three sentences. Our church is running a week of events about hope. Hands him a card. Everyone is hungry for something more, and we believe the answer is Jesus. That was sentence number two. Sentence number three was, "You'd be very welcome to come." Three sentences. I think all of us can do that, right? Getting to know someone at a chip shop. I think all of us can do that, right? Evangelism can really be that simple and that easy. And Jackie is going to start us off now with some thoughts on creating gospel conversations. Thanks, Jackie.
Okay, before I start, I just want to pray. Father God, I ask you that you'll take complete control over what we're doing here today, Lord. Please just speak through me, Lord, and that I just disappear, Lord, and you speak. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. So this session is all about how we can create a gospel conversation. It may sound like you're manufacturing an artificial conversation, but it's really not. It's just a normal, everyday interaction. Every day, we all have conversations where we end up speaking about someone we love or a hobby or an interest we have. This is because we feel passionately about the person or the hobby. So how much more so than with Jesus? Are we really passionate about him? Is he the joy of our salvation, something really, really dear to us? Because to have a gospel conversation, he really does need to be our passion. There are four elements to creating a gospel conversation. Firstly, there is a divine appointment, so seek the Lord's help in your mind throughout the conversation. Secondly, be really interested in having a genuine conversation with the individual. Do this by showing your interest in them. Ask questions about them and their life in a conversational way rather than an interrogation. Thirdly, look for the common ground, what you have together, to facilitate an easy and genuine conversation. And lastly, look for the opening that God gives, the opportunity to share naturally your personal witness and gospel message. I want to show you how natural this can be. I'm going to give you a few seconds, 10 seconds actually, to think about what or who you are really passionate about. So do that now. Now, thinking about that thing, would you have to manipulate the conversation to bring it in? No, because it is so important to you and takes up a lot of your life. So if Jesus is everything to you, and he should be if you're a believer, it's not going to be hard to bring him into the conversation in a natural way. Just like you will with the person or the hobby or interest you just thought about. The art of a conversation is to connect with someone, whether it's a stranger, a friend, or a family member. You're building or deepening a rapport with them. This is the same with a gospel conversation. You are just as interested in them, but actually even more so because the Holy Spirit is interested in this conversation too. Here are a few points to help facilitate a gospel conversation. Rely on the Holy Spirit. He has brought this conversation about, and it's not all on your shoulders. You are working with him, so keep asking him for help. In any such conversations I have, I silently ask the Holy Spirit in my head to help me, to give me the words to say, as it's his work, not mine. And make sure you're actively listening. We all know how it feels when someone is listening, but they're not engaged. It is important to show you are actively listening. Otherwise, how can someone believe your message is genuinely true and is as important as you are suggesting when they don't feel you are genuinely engaging with them during this conversation? They're not a project. This is a genuine conversation. So chat in an open and natural and friendly way. You may have to dig a bit deeper if this isn't natural to you at first. But remember, the Holy Spirit is helping you. Find your common ground and chat around it. Something that you both have an understanding or a connection with. And stay engaged. Comment or emphasize on significant points every so often. For example, if they said, "There's no way I was going to do that," you might reply, "Well, yeah, how could you?" Remember, we actively listen with our body language too. We nod our heads in agreement. we're appropriate, and we keep eye contact, we frown and we smile when they do. That's just the same in a gospel conversation. Don't overstay your welcome. If they start to look at their phone or look around them or get their headphones out, etc., these are subtle signs they want to leave the conversation. Acknowledge it by finishing the conversation in your own non-verbal or verbal way. Don't feel you have to push the conversation. Remember, it's the Holy Spirit's job to convict. And you don't know where you are on their journey of faith. You might have just planted the first seed. As you engage more and more, you need to recognise an opening. Throughout the conversation, you have built a rapport. You have shown them that you are interested in them and that you are listening to them. But they're interested in you too, and they want to listen to you. Be prepared, as they will invariably ask you to explain more, which opens up the way for you to share with your personal testimony and the good news. So just a couple of our examples. On Friday in the chemist, I was asked, why would you move from Cornwall to Banstead? Most people are going the other way. So I replied that my husband and I are Christians, and we were called here to Christ Church Banstead, the church up the road. And we chatted around this. She wanted to know how that happened and what were you doing now and everything. My expectation would be the next time we pick up that conversation, there will be more. And I'm going down there with one of the Hope Weekend things and giving it to her and encouraging her to come along to one of them. I had the same situation with a lady, one of our neighbours, who I chat to really regularly. She's 88 and she's an atheist. And she's very quick to tell me she's an atheist. But she's always asking me about why I believe what I believe. And God does miracles, doesn't he? So why is he not doing miracles here and why is he not doing miracles there? And she asked me lots and lots of questions. Well, she turned up at her house today. And so she came and spent about an hour with us and we chatted around and everything. And again, a great gospel conversation. Tim and Kirsty were witnesses to it. Great conversation, lots and lots of questions. But the upshot is I'm going with her on Monday to meet her bingo friends so that we can invite them to the Hope Week. So this is it, just a natural conversation. They know, you've got to remember when you're talking to people and sharing with them about being a Christian, they know you are a Christian and you can speak about the church life. So many people haven't considered that the church-based groups are available for them even as non-Christians. And most people will question why you would offer that support and help to them. Again, here's another opening. You can answer their questions by sharing the message of Jesus, love for them, explaining the gospel message, and this is at the heart of why we do what we do. It's not just a social gospel. So how to start talking to people about Jesus? In the first few minutes, listen and remember what they are telling you. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you with this. I know I keep saying it, but the Holy Spirit really is with you in this conversation. Find out what you have in common and keep the conversation around that topic as it deepens your connection and rapport with them. When you see the opening, step into it. It is important to bear in mind you may be talking to someone who doesn't know anything about Jesus. Many people struggle with the idea of having faith in someone that they can see. But everyone acts in faith every day. We put our faith in our mechanics, our pilots, our bus drivers, our chefs. In fact, how many of you checked to make sure those legs of those seats weren't broken before you sat down in the chair? None of you. You put your faith in the chair. It's important at this point that we mustn't rely on Christian jargon. People won't know what that means. So be careful to share how much Jesus means to you in not using Christian words. Some will have had bad experiences of what they perceive as religion or Christianity. So they may resist what you have to say. Don't feel you have to defend Jesus. He's big enough to do that himself. Rather, listen to them and show how you care and understand whilst praying silently for the Holy Spirit to give you the right words you need. If you try and defend Jesus, you'll create a barrier between you and the person you are talking to, and you will lose that gospel opportunity. God loves them so much and understands their circumstances. So make the gospel message personal to them by including what they've told you, what you have in common. Remember, Jesus died for their sorrows as well as their sins. They need to know this, as today's world, especially outside of the church, people tend to live as islands and many carry their pain alone. What a comfort it is to know that Jesus died on the cross to save us personally from both our sins and our sorrows. Can you remember the overwhelming sense of joy and freedom you had when you first believed? That is the joy that Jesus wants you to share with others, so that they can know that saving grace too. So our last few points. Have a Bible app or a devotional app on your phone that you've tried and tested and that it's easy to download. Make sure you can do it quickly because you might be within a time limit. Have a prepared and practiced personal testimony that should really be no longer than 3 minutes or you'll lose people's, concentration. It is a good practice to have memorized scripture verses that are dear to you. They mean something to you, so you will share them naturally. The Holy Spirit also brings scriptures to mind as he is in this conversation too. It's really good to have scripture cards or scripture booklets on you to give away to people or that haven't got smartphones. And lastly, try to leave some form of contact with them, whether that's church details, whether that's befriending them on social media, or exchanging numbers if that's appropriate. Thanks so much.
Thank you very, very much, Jackie. Now, Jackie is very, very humble, and so she won't say this, but I will. She's just given us the really, really condensed version of a chapter that she wrote for a book. It's excellent. And if you would like to read that chapter, then we can give you a PDF. Say if you'd like that, me or Tim or Jackie. I'm sorry for embarrassing you with that. So that was creating gospel conversations. The second thing we're going to consider is sharing our gospel stories. And we've got some slides coming up, which I'll just talk us through, really. I think we know that stories are powerful. Our own stories are powerful, but they're not just our stories. They're our stories of how the gospel has worked in our lives. So it's both our story and his story. The Bible even testifies to the power of testimonies. You can see that verse up there from John 4. That's when Jesus met the woman at the well. Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him, Jesus, because of the woman's testimony. And because of his words, many more became believers. So if we want to see conversions in Banstead, don't we? We want to see lots and lots of conversions. Two ways that God has blessed in bringing about those conversions, our testimonies and the words of Jesus. And if we can combine both of those things, even better. Let's click on. So, we know that stories are powerful. We know that God has kind of blessed it through scripture. But we kind of stumble over how to tell our stories, don't we? We don't necessarily know how to begin. We're not necessarily well practiced in talking about ourselves. But here's the thing. If we're telling our story well, it's not about us. It's actually about Jesus. And with the interest of building our confidence in telling our story, I've got a suggestion in how to structure it. And I'll give credit to Counties. They've kind of produced a resource on telling your story, and I've kind of based and developed my thinking on that. I think we can do our story in three chunks. Before Jesus, but Jesus, now Jesus. So that first section, before Jesus, should take about kind of 20% of the time. And really, we're talking about kind of a 3 minute story here total. Don't obsess over the numbers or do the maths and try and work out what is 20% of 180 seconds, but it's short. What was your life like before Jesus? If we click onto the next slide, we'll see more detail on that. You could think about answering some of these questions. What were your beliefs or worldview like? What was your attitude towards God? What were your problems? What were your needs? All these different ways to build this picture of what your life was like before Jesus. Part two, this would take roughly 40%, give or take several percent. But Jesus, I suggest you literally start section two with, but Jesus, How did Jesus change your life? Was there a specific moment? It's wonderful that several of us, many of us here, can point to the exact moment you became a Christian. That's wonderful if you can tell about that. Or was there kind of a gradual process, a series of moments that God used? That's kind of my story, and many people from a Christian background have that kind of change as well. What was it that you realized about Jesus? Was it his mercy? Was it his grace? Was it just him as a person? Was it something particular, a particular story? Try and think about something specific that drew you to Christ, and how did you respond to him? Did you go to your room and pray? Did you respond as you were in church, as you were singing a hymn, whatever it was? Think about how Jesus changed your life. And that leads us on to part three. Now, Jesus, what difference does Jesus make in your life now? What does Jesus mean to you? How has he changed what you value in life? You might want to refer back to this section. Might be quite similar to the first section in some ways. How has he met your needs? Like you've talked about your need in the first section, and now you show how Jesus met that need. And of course, if we think Jesus' words are powerful, as they are, do you have a favorite Bible verse? That's always a really good way to finish your testimony. So if we click onto the summary next one, I'm going to give us an example. It's not the perfect example, but it's my example. And then you guys are going to have a turn in twos and threes. You're going to practice telling your story to the people next to you. Remember, this is practice, so this isn't the real thing. This is, if you want to build confidence at anything, you've got to practice, haven't you? So let's give it a go. But here's my example. So actually, you're not going to look at notes, so I won't look at notes. Part one. So before Jesus, I grew up in a Christian home. We always went to church on a Sunday. We always read the Bible, but I was very conscious of the fact that it was my parents' faith, not mine. And all the time, I remember feeling really terribly guilty about the things that I had done wrong. So even as a really young boy, I remember crying awake at night because of how guilty I felt. But Jesus changed all that. There was one day where I was in the car home from church. My dad was driving. And I realized that, I've got the solution to the problem of feeling guilty all the time. I'm never going to do anything wrong ever again. That lasted 5 minutes. But over the next few weeks, Jesus changed all of that. I remember one particular evening service where it felt like God just switched the lights on. I realized that Jesus lived the perfect life that I could never live. I realized that Jesus died the death that I deserve. And I prayed a prayer as a six-year-old that was really light on theology, but really big on faith. I just prayed, dear God, please make me a Christian. That was it. And he answered that prayer. Now, Jesus, since then, I've had lots of ups and downs. As a teenager, I wandered very far away from God. I loved being popular, and so I wanted to go to all the parties and enjoy everything that came with that. But Jesus graciously drew me back, God made me see that actually none of that stuff made me happy. What made me happy and what filled me with great joy was following Jesus. And so there's a Bible verse that is so precious to me to this day. It's from John chapter 10, verse 10. It goes like this. Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. And that's been my experience. That's my story. Now it's your turn. 10 minutes, have a chat in twos and threes, just take turns giving it a go using those three sections there. You've got this, it's just practice.
If we could bring our conversations to a close for a moment. I know it's exciting stuff that we're talking about.